Morning, everyone, and welcome at church today. As you can see, I don't have kids around my legs. My excuse is they're upstairs at the children's church. So, yeah. Last week we had what we called Activate Sunday. What we did at Activate Sunday is we just told you about all the different ministries there is, where you can get involved, that kind of things. Also, what we did is we spoke about New Year's resolutions. And for you that were here, I think you would remember that we said normally what happens if it's the beginning of the year and we look at our lives and we think about changes and all that kind of things, is what we do is we put our focus on self-improvement. We normally we look at ourselves and say, okay, this is the things I want to change in myself this year. And there's nothing wrong with improving yourself, but I think what you'll remember what we said is that the thing is our focus shouldn't be there. Our focus shouldn't be on ourselves. Our focus should actually be on the people around us, because in that God's kingdom will come. And also what we saw in the Word last week in the Bible is that it's necessary for all of us to count the cost. If we say, yes, we're going to put the focus not on ourselves this year, we're going to reach out and to change other people's lives, basically to help them so that their world can be changed, we need to count the cost for that. Because we need to realize if we say we're willing to do that, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some money. And in the end, it's going to cost you some life, if I can put it like that. And that's why it's important for us to count the cost. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about that life. Practically, what does it mean? If we say it's going to cost you, so you need to give some of that, what does it mean? And the moment we start to talk about giving, to me the word that comes up is stewardship. Because you see, there's so many things we all need to do, but what we need to realize is we need to steward whatever we do. And I went and looked in the Webster's Dictionary, and the meaning of the word stewardship there is the activity or job of protecting and being responsible for something. So it's the activity or the job of protecting and being responsible for something. So what it means is that you are responsible for something. The question I want to ask you this morning is, what is that something? If you say you're a steward, you're supposed to be responsible for something. There's going to be one day where you're going to give account for something. What is that something? I can't say it's very quiet in here because it's actually quite loud around the corner. Okay, maybe someone can just close that door, please. But all of us, we're responsible for something. And what is that something? I think in the end it is time. It's money. It's possessions. It can be a lot of things. So all of us is stewards. Whether you want to be a steward or not, all of us is stewards. The only thing is, are we doing a good job or a bad job of being a steward? Whether it's over our time, over our money, our possessions, everything else, at the end of the day, we're stewards over our lives. And are we doing what we're supposed to do if we think about that? So what I just want to do is, I want to talk about a little bit about stewardship today. And I firstly want to go to the thing of time. Let's talk about stewardship of time. And there's a scripture I want to read. It's Ephesians 5 verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 5 verse 15 and 16. And it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So what God is saying here is be wise in how you are spending your time. Make sure that the way you spend your time, that you're doing it wisely and not unwise. So what he's talking about is stewardship of your time. The time you've got, are you being wise by the way you spend it, or are you being unwise? And I think the thing, it carries on by saying, because the days are evil. So if we say, okay, so we need to be wise in the way we spend our time because days are evil. What does it mean? It means that if we don't spend our time wisely, then our time is going to be stolen. It's going to disappear. You're going to come to the end of the day, and if you look back, you're going to look back at the day and say, okay, but where has all the time gone? How is it that I'm at the end of the day, I look back at this day, and I can't really see what I did today? It's like, today was just waste. I don't know if it's only me, or sometimes you feel like that as well. When you look at the day, and it's like, it's gone. You had a lot of plans for that day, a lot of things you wanted to accomplish, and so on. But you're at the end of the day, and you didn't do that. You see, what happened there is your time was stolen. And therefore, it's important for us to be wise in how we steward our time. I want to give you some examples. Of course, I wrote down a couple of them here. If we think about time, it's not always that highly spiritual thing of how you are supposed to use your time. Sometimes you can just get practical about this. And what I mean is, you go, for instance, you go to Trent Tire. You need to get some tires on the buggy or on the car. Now you sit there for 2 hours while they're busy sorting everything out because they're struggling and it's taking time and this happens and that happens. But you are there for 2 hours. They're changing the tires on your vehicle. Now after that 2 hours, you leave that place. And my question is, that 2 hours of your life that you've spent at Trent Tire, you think that was time well spent or not? Now, I know we all tell each other, but hey, I need to change the tires, man. So what am I supposed to do? But you see, the thing is, that's 2 hours that you've spent, may I say, on your life, that's wasted. But that same tires, that same 2 hours you were at Trent Tire, while they were busy sorting out your tires, you're sitting in that little waiting room. You could have had a conversation with someone sitting there. You could have sat there giving someone a testimony, telling someone what Jesus means to you. And you know immediately what happens, that 2 hours that would have been wasted is not wasted anymore. And you see, that's the way we need to start to think. I want to give you another example. And I just want to tell you about the Trent Tire 2 hour thing. I don't always get it right. Okay? But I realize this is something we can all grow in. This is something we need to change our minds, the way that we think about things. And when we're at some place, standing in a queue or whatever, think, okay, I need to do this, so I can't leave. But how can I use this time in this place? How can I use this so that it makes a difference in the world or in the kingdom out there? Something else that I do is I listen to sermons from a lot of different other preachers. And I listen to about 10 to 12 sermons every week. Now, for you, you're probably listening, sorry man, but to me every Sunday. So you've got 4 sermons coming your way in a month, where I get about between 40 and 50 sermons in a month. Now, you might say, but yeah, but you're the pastor. And you've got time for that. But you know, no, I don't. I don't have time for that. I don't have time sitting in front of my computer or in front of a TV every day listening to sermons. What I do is, one of the things I do is I do woodwork as well. And while I'm doing woodwork, I always got my earphones in. And I download sermons onto my phone. So while I'm doing that, I'm listening to sermons. And you all will know, you saw me on site a lot of times. I'm there with my earphones in. And what I'm doing is I'm listening to sermons. And you see, if maybe a certain day, if by the end of the day, I can look back and say, okay, the last 8 hours, what did I do? This morning I had 4 hours where I was sitting in front of my computer. I had to organize some sort of event, or I did my emails, those kind of things. But it's stuff that I need to do. So that is time that I can't get out of it. That 4 hours was time well spent for something that must happen for my work, and in my case it's for the church. So that's 4 hours invested in God. But the other 4 hours I did what? I did woodwork. So that 4 hours in the end of the day is 4 hours spent on me, on my life, on my income. You agree? So out of that 8 hours, that's what happens there. But now I use that time while doing woodwork to listen to sermons. By listening to that sermons, I built myself up to be able to give more. So what happens, I also use that 4 hours for God's kingdom. So if I look back at that 8 hours, I can tell you, okay, in that 8 hours, there's 12 hours. Four of them, the first four I've used for God, the second four woodwork I've used on me, and the four after that I also used for God. But all of that fits into 8 hours. So out of my 8 hours, I've spent 8 hours on God. But I did that while also spending time on myself. And that's how we need to change our minds of how to do things. Something else we do, for instance, is we, on missions, is we do a lot of family outreaches, family missions. And the reason why we started with this, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, is because it was, in the beginning, it was this thing, I'm going on missions and outreaches and stuff, and while I'm doing that, I'm losing time with my family because I'm not at home. So what we did is we changed our missions so that we can take the family with on missions. So that same time I'm using now on missions and on outreaches, I'm using to spend with my family. So it's not a thing I must, for me, that I must choose whether I'm going to spend time on my family or whether I'm going to spend time with God. I choose to combine it. And I think that's the way we need to start to think. If everything we're doing, it's God is not telling you, no, stop what you're doing and go do that necessarily. But what you are doing, use your time wisely. Change the way you're doing it a little bit so that His kingdom can come in that time. Maybe a last example. I know a lot of you guys are cycling. Now, I'm not picking on anyone, but a lot of you are cycling. And when you're cycling, you're spending time on who? On yourself, okay? But the thing is, and it's necessary for all of us to escape and that kind of stuff. But how can you use your cycling, for instance, to glorify God as well? Simple idea is just invite friends with that you know that's not going to church. Invite friends with you know that's not following Jesus. The moment you invite those friends with, you can still cycle. Do your cycling. It's not like God is coming and say, listen, you're not allowed to do this anymore. You must rather do this. But what you do is you combine it. So while doing your cycling, you invite those kind of people with. And while out there cycling, testify. Invite people to church. So you see, what we do is we use that time to let God's kingdom come. Because it's so often we think, yeah, but yes, I've got this hectic life. I've got all these things going on. And now the church is wanting more of me, or God is asking more of my time. But it's just not possible. Because what now? You expect me to drop all that stuff and do this? No. He expects you to change the way you think, to bring Him in into everything you're busy with, everything you're doing, to bring Him into that. And if you do that, it's easy for you to carry on doing what you're doing, but in that process, also build the kingdom of God. I'm going to read a scripture in Luke. You can maybe open your Bible, say Luke 12. We're going to read from verse 35. Luke 12 from verse 35 to 44. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Now, what this scripture referring to is basically that when the master comes, what will you be busy with? Will you be ready for him or won't you? And you see, the thing is, when I think about this, is something that just came to mind is, I think often maybe what we do is you get someone from the street or wherever, you get someone and you appoint that person to do something for you. So basically what you're doing is you're telling someone, listen, I want you to work in my garden, for instance, today. So I want you to cut the lawn. I want you to cut the, go around the edges, make everything neat, sweep the paving, that kind of stuff, but sort out everything for me. So that person agrees to that. So he's the servant of this master and say, yes, I'll do that. So he chose to come there and to do that. Now the thing is, a lot of times when we ask people to do stuff for us, or if we appoint people to do work for us, one of two things happens. Either you leave, you need to go somewhere, and that person is there, and he do all the work that you ask him to do. So he uses his time wisely and good by doing what he was asked. He'll cut the grass, he'll do the sides, the edges, he'll sweep the paving. Without you watching him, he's doing what he's supposed to do. But some people, you know, what happens is a different story. Because the first hour, everything is good. There's all that good intentions of, yes, I'm going to do this job and I'm going to do it great and right. And, you know, I want to make the person proud in the way I do it and all that kind of stuff. But after an hour, it's not that easy anymore. So what happens is that person, maybe you left, you went somewhere, that person will go sit under the tree and enjoy the shade. Maybe take the phone out, play a game, WhatsApp, whatever. And sometimes also what you'll find is that maybe that person is sitting there and he's saying, okay, but you know, things with my parents is not right. So I'm going to use this time and sort out with my parents, and talk to them, and phone my brother, and phone my sister, because this is really important. You know, family is important to God. So I'm going to do this kind of stuff. Maybe even do some admin there under the tree. I don't know. But the point is, whether you're sleeping at that person, whether he's sleeping it away, or spending that time in a different way or on something else, that's time wasted. Because he wasn't paid for that. That's not what he was asked to do. He was asked to do something different. And I think, therefore, it's important for us as well, if we look at our lives, we must ask ourselves the question, if we look back at today, at tomorrow, the past week, if we look back, is that time well spent or is it time wasted? And the thing none of us want is we don't want that day to come when we will stand before God and we ask us, so what did you do with your time? I've sent you to earth. I gave you this amount of time. What do you have to show for it? What did you do with that? And you know, at that stage, you can tell God, you know, God, I wasn't a lazy person. You know, I worked very hard. You know, that big house that I've got, it's paid off completely. You know, Lord, that 3 cars I've got, paid off completely. You know, Lord, even my children, they wanted to go study. It wasn't necessary for them to get loans and stuff. I paid for that. It's all paid for. And Lord, you know, for me also, my health was very important for me. So I spent a lot of time in the gym. And I ate a lot of healthy food. So all of those things, that is what I did with my life. And he might ask you, okay, but how did you influence the people around you? And you can say, but Lord, you know, being able to pay that house and to pay that vehicles and to provide for my family and to look after my health and all of that, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. And there wasn't time for anything else. And his answer will probably be, what a waste. What a wasted life. Only spent on itself, not making an influence on people around him. And you see, therefore, it's so easy for us to be busy with a lot of things that's important to us. But in the end of the day, what happens, we spend all of that on ourselves. And what God is calling us for and what God is asking us is to not only spend it on ourselves, whether it's time or money or anything else, but to influence the world around us. Because in the end of the day, that's what we were called for. In the end of the day, that's why we were sent to this earth. And I know with all of us, we can look back at our lives and we can say, yes, but I only got saved, whether it's a year ago or maybe 5 years ago, and this is my age, and so I've wasted all that years. But you know, in the end of the day, you can choose to focus on the years that you've wasted, or you can choose to focus on the years that's ahead. And what God is basically asking us is not to be focused on what is wasted and what is behind us, but rather to focus on what is ahead of us, so that God can still use that. You know, for me, my mom is 64 years old this year. And this week, she recommitted to Christ. Now, she can stand at that place and say, okay, but there's 64 years behind me that I could have spent better. But what she chose to do is she's at this place where she said, I don't know how many years I've got left, but may this years be a testimony unto God. So she chose to, the future that's in front of her, she chose to use that for God's kingdom. And that's what we all need to do. I want to talk about something else that was stewarding of our time. And I think you'll just agree with me that if we think about our time, if we choose to renew our minds, and I think also if we go to God and ask God, you know, help us by using our time differently, it can make a really big difference or big change in our lives, but also in the lives of the people around us. Then let's talk about stewarding of money and possessions. I'm going to read you scripture, Psalm 50 from verse 10 to 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all the moves in the field is, and yeah, all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. So if we start to talk about money and possessions, I know it's a topic a lot of us, a lot of times, we don't want to talk about it. But if we look at Psalm 50, what we see is God is actually telling us that everything belongs to him. Because you see, what he does is he makes us stewards of what is his. And I want to read you a Bible story. I don't know if you know this, but see if you notice the story. I just want to read it to you. Once upon a time, there was a master who has got some servants that is supposed to be spending their time wisely, building its kingdom. This master is a good master. While they are working and creating wealth for him, the good master comes and tells them, though you are generating wealth for me, you can keep most of it and only give me a small portion of what I'm giving you. But their servants not only take the big portion that he gave them, but they took the master's portion as well. And because they do this, a curse comes over them, where the harder they work to generate more wealth, the more the expenses grow to consume that wealth. But still this master is so good that he comes to them and tells them to stop what they are doing. He does not punish them. He only tells them to stop what they are doing so that the curse can be broken over them. He wants to see them blessed. He is even willing to help them to lower their expenses and the things that are taking their money. But all he's asking is that they will return to him by doing what he asks. Now, what do you think about this master, and what do you think about the servants? I don't know if you've heard this story before. I don't know if you know who the servants is. Do you know where the story is in the Bible? Everyone is looking to me with small eyes. I'm going to read you the scripture out of the Bible. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of God, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3, verse 6 to 12. And the story, the Bible story before that, is a lot of us in our lives. Because you see, what we seem to forget is when we read Psalm 50, where we say everything belongs to God, everything is His, we all agree, don't we? But then the moment it comes to tithing, then it's a different story. Then that 100% is mine, it's not God's anymore. Then that 100% becomes mine. And it's like God is asking me 10% of that, and how can He do that? And you know, something we need to realize if we think about tithing, I know the moment you talk about a curse, then everyone is, don't want to hear about curses and that kind of stuff. But it's not God cursing people that don't tithe. It's not like that. It's something we bring over ourselves. But God's heart is not for that. God's heart is to see you blessed. God's heart is to see you prosper. If you read the scripture, what you see is, in the end it says that I will rebuke the devourer for you. So what you see is God stepping into finances and say, listen, I want to get in here. I want to sort this out. I don't want to see things going the way that it is going. And why does He do that? Because He wants your money? No. Because He loves you. Because He wants to see you blessed. Because He wants to see you to prosper and to get somewhere. And you know, if it comes to biblical stewardship, it begins by tithing. And I just want to tell you, all the excuses there is about why not tithe, I've used them before you did. I probably used them before a lot of you earned a salary. So I know all of them. And there was that time in my life where I didn't agree with this. I didn't want this to be true. And you know, the thing is, but there also came a time where we said, me and my wife, we told each other, but why isn't we not getting anywhere? Why is it that every moment we get to that place where we think, okay, great, here's breakthrough now. Now things is going to change. Then it's just like something steps in, just changes the whole situation, and it's not breakthrough anymore. Our lives don't change. And I believe in the end of the day, it's because we never, back then, we never stepped into that place of tithing, of basically where we allowed God to step in and to keep the devourer away from us. And the devourer isn't necessarily the devil standing at your door trying to steal from you. The devourer can be interest. It can be things breaking inside your house. You know, the salary comes in, but every month there's just something. The money just keeps on going out. The more comes in, the more goes out. There's always just something. But you see, if I think back about, like for instance, when God took the people out of Egypt, you know, I've read in the Bible that what happened there is for 40 years, their clothes and their shoes, the shoes that they had, they didn't have to replace that. You see, because God kept the devourer away from it. And the same way in our finances, if we tithe, I know it's not always difficult, and especially to get to that place of getting into it, where you need to start to do that. You know you need to do this, but I'm sure God will understand. You know, I just can't. Maybe next month. But in the end of the day, what happens is years later, and you're still in that place of maybe next month. Because God said that we will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. It means stepping out into what's not easy and stepping out into a place that's not comfortable to us. That's the place He's calling us to. And I look back at my life and there's years of building businesses and that kind of stuff. But it all came up to nothing. When nothing came out of it. After years of doing that, still struggling, not getting anywhere. And years ago, a couple of years ago, we came to a place where we said, but we realized that God is calling us and He's asking of us to do this. Now, I can pray over my businesses for all I want. I can talk to God about my money and bless, please bless my money and bless this project and all that kind of stuff. But the first thing He asks from me is obedience. And what He asks is, give me a tenth of what you receive. So if I'm not doing that, I can do all the rest. I can anoint my money or my businesses and everything. It's not going to grow. Because it's like He's standing at that first place where He's saying, okay, tithing, this is the place we start. But we say, Lord, we'll get to that. But we're first going to do this. Lord, this business, I'm going to give you 50% of this business. And He'll tell you, but I don't want 50% of that. I want 10% of what you've got now. Because you see, the only way you'll get to that place of giving God 50% of what you earn is by starting with 10% somewhere else. I know a lot of big businessmen in South Africa that when they started their businesses years ago, there's one guy, for instance, what he did is years ago, he came to God and said, Lord, you're asking for 10%. And I'll give you 10%. But Lord, may it grow to a place where you receive 90% of this business and where I receive 10% from this business. The owner of that business, I'm not going to give you the name of the business, but the owner of that business today, he's taking 10% and he's giving 90% back to God. But the 10% he's earning today is way more than the 90% he earned back then or he would have earned today. If God wasn't in that business with him. Now, we all want God in our finances and in our businesses and in everything we do. But it's not about asking and saying, okay, God, let's get in there. What He's saying is, but everything is mine. But are you willing to give me 10% back? Not you've got 100%, will you give me 10% back? I want to give you 90%. You know, everything you're earning it for me. It's mine. But I want you to have 90%. And just leave me 10%. And then we say, Lord, we can't do that. Lord, how can you ask me to do something like that? Lord, do you know how difficult this world is? But you see, it's not about the money. It's about where our faith is. And Saskia said, not regarding money, but earlier she spoke about faith and really believing God is calling us to step into faith this year. I believe that as well. And I also believe that God wants breakthrough to come in your life and in your finances. But for you to receive that breakthrough and to walk in that breakthrough, you need to be obedient to the Word. If we're not obedient to the world, then we can't expect that breakthrough. Because we've got a lot of different ideas of how this can work. But in the end of the day, the Bible is the one that will tell us how it's supposed to work. We're talking about stewardship. Now, we said, okay, you need to tithe. So when you tithe, something you need to realize is that tithing doesn't mean, okay, take 10% of your salary and give it away. That's being a bad steward. What tithing is giving 10% of your salary back to God, not giving it away. So if you read the scripture that I just wrote, what it said there is bring the 10%, the full tithe, to the storehouse so that there can be food in my house. It's asking you to bring it to church, not somewhere else. And now you can tell me, okay, but you know, this month, God has laid on my heart to really bless that ministry. Or maybe this month, you know, that person's really struggling and I want to help them, so I want to give them money. Are you saying I can't do that? No, of course you can do it. But give away your money, not God's. So first give the 10% you're supposed to give, and the rest, which is yours, which He gave to you, give it out of that. Because it's very easy to bless people with other people's money. Isn't it? But that's not what we're supposed to do. In English, the word is alms. In Afrikaans, it's almoser. It's when you give to the poor. So yes, I believe we need to help certain ministries and all those kind of things. But we're not supposed to do that instead of tithing. Because that's not tithing, it's alms that we're giving. So, yeah, being a good steward means that you bring your full tithe, it says, to the storehouse so that there can be food in my house. So your full tithe goes to the church. That's what it means. Then to give that 10% really requires faith. And you know, when to be able to do that, a lot of times we need to make a lot of difficult choices. When I got to that place where I said, okay, Lord, I choose to in a way recommit my finances to you. So Lord, I'm at this place where I want to give you a tithe of what I've got. I worked out my budget and I said, okay, there's no way. There's no way I can take 10% of my income and give that to God. And what I did is I looked at everything, and it's going to sound funny to you, but I saw my car payment, my monthly car payment is 10% of my salary. And what I realized God was telling me is, yeah, you're using my money to buy a car. You tell me you can't give this, but you use it for something else. That's basically what's going on here. And what I said is, Lord, okay, help me to sell the car. I'll sell the car. Whatever I get out of that, that's the money I'll use to buy a new car. So I'm not going to drive this nice vehicle I've got anymore. I'm willing to sell it. And it took about 3 months to sell the car. And in that 3 months, I still gave my tithe with a budget that did not work out. But every time I get to the end of the month and I thought, yes, I don't know how we made it, but we, yeah. You know, we came through this month and it was difficult. And yes, we had to let go of a couple of things and so on. But we, yeah. And after 3 months, the car is sold, and I got out 12,000 rand after selling my car. So what I did is I bought our family a car for 12,000 rand. I don't have to tell you what it looks like. But then my budget was back in a place where I was able to give a tithe. So you see, that obedience cost, it cost me. It was difficult to move into that place of being obedient. But I said, Lord, I trust you. I can't afford a car payment anymore because I'd rather give you what you ask of me. Please help me. And I think it was about, we had our 12,000 rand car for 3 months, something like that. And we sold that and we upgraded to a car of about, I think it was 25,000. It's still cheapy, but getting there. And within a year, we were able to buy a car of about 100,000 rand cash. And I'm not telling you to tithe so that you can get money. What I'm telling you is that I can testify of God's goodness. And I can testify of God's faithfulness. Because you see what he did, the moment we did that, that we stepped into that place, he started to take the devourer away from us. And because of that, we were able to grow in our finances. We weren't in a place anymore of the every time it increased, the expenses also increased. The other day, I told someone the washing machine that we've got at our home. We bought it the month that we got married. That's 16 years ago. Still the same washing machine. And it's not because it's an LG top loader. It's because the devourer was kept away from it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. A lot of times, we want to give our tithings, and we want to see a change by the end of the month. But it doesn't always work like that. Walking in faith means you give that steps without realizing or without understanding how things is going to work out. But you're giving it because you put your faith in God and not in your own provision and your own salary anymore. Because you see, we can also even put our faith in our budgets. Where you work out your budget, as long as I do this, everything is fine. And I believe in doing a budget. I've done it for the last, I think, 5 years. Every month, I do my budget. So I believe in doing that. But my faith is not in that. And if I look back at all the budgets that I've drawn up over the years, there's a lot of testimonies there. Because you see, even the months where it shows a minus underneath, not enough money to pay everything this month, I still gave my tenth out first. Because I believe by doing that, I said, Lord, I need you this month again. So here's what you asked of me. Please bless the rest. And God came through and he provided. And you see, if we think about this, you know, thinking about that place of saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to step into this. Lord, here we go. From this month, Lord, I'm going to give you a tithe of my income. But Lord, if I do this and you don't provide, then I'm screwed. I don't know if any, I've been there. And maybe you, at the end of this month, you're going to be there. I'm saying, Lord, I'm gonna give you a tithe, and if you don't come through, I've got big problems. You know, that's the place none of us wants to be. But that's the place God wants you to be. Because that's the place where you will grow. That's the place where God will show up to show you that he's faithful. So what you're doing in that moment is you're creating an opportunity for God to reveal himself to you. Do you know God as your provider? Because there's a lot of sides of God. Maybe you know him as a healer because once he touched you and healed you of something. But do you know God as your provider? Where you can testify and say, this month, this month, this month, I stepped out there. There was no place to put down my foot. But the moment I've put my foot there, I was able to walk there. I didn't know how it was going to work. I don't know how it worked. But it did. Everything is sorted out. See, that's the place God is calling each of us to this year. And tithings is just one of those places. We can talk about faith. we can talk about God's provision. But if we don't get to that place of walking that road of faith, it will never be real. And therefore, for each of us, if you at a place where you say, okay, this year, I really want to put my faith in God. I really want to trust in God. I want to grow in my relationship with God. Then you need to step out in faith. And I can promise you, and I remember even that first month for me, it was really difficult. And if you say, okay, but I don't have the faith to do this. Start somewhere else. Say, Lord, I can't give you 10%. My faith is not there. But I know that's what you're asking from me. So what I'll do, Lord, is I'll give you 5% this month. And Lord, I'll increase this every month by 100 rand. Because in the end of the day, it's not about the money. It's about faith in God. That's what it's about. And you know, if you put your faith in God, you will see Him for what He is. But as long as we stay in this comfort zone, this place where we can control everything, we'll never experience Him for what He is. I tell you a testimony of years ago. Joshua was a baby back then. The other two weren't born at that stage, so that's a couple of years ago. Joshua turned 13 the other day. I went to a church and in Durbanville, and I sat in this church, and after about a month before that, what we did is we sold our business and everything to basically go out to work with people on the streets. So after selling everything, we had a little bit of money left, and as things go on that month, you see that money declining. And you get to a point, and this might sound funny, but you get to this point where there's 300 rand left. So after this 300, you're in that place of everything that's happening from there onwards is going to be a miracle. Because you can't provide for yourself anymore. And that Sunday morning, I went to church in Durbanville, and I made the mistake of taking the 300 rand with me. And Annemarie told me that morning, okay, but when you come home, you must bring diapers for Joshua. And so I thought, okay, it's like 100 rand, need to go for that. I've got about 200 left still. So we'll see how long it lasts. But anyway, I'll maybe put in a 10 rand in church or something like that. And I sat in church and I had the full 300 rand in my pocket. And while in church, they do the offering thing. And to me, it was like God was telling me, saying, Philip, put in everything in the basket. And you first, you know, you want to make that voice quiet and all that stuff, but you know it's God. So you're sitting there and you think, Lord, I can't, you know. And again I heard this voice ask me, Philip, put in everything in the basket. Now I thought by myself that, because if I get home without diapers, how do I explain to my wife, you know, I know there was enough money for the diapers and everything, but I've put everything in at church. And I thought this thing through, and I thought by myself, okay, if I'm going to put in everything, and if God don't provide for me, I was busy thinking then what I'll do is my parents, they stayed down the road. Then I'll just stop there and ask them just to help me out and so on. And I was busy with that thought, and while I was thinking it, and that's one of the times in my life that I heard the Holy Spirit, the clearest speaking to me, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit telling me, that's why you never saw my provision up to now. Because opening a back door of how you're going to make a plan is not stepping out in faith. And it's like I felt God saying to me, you want to see my provision for what it is? No back doors. Nothing in place for in case God don't come through for me. And I sat there and I said, Lord, okay. I'm putting in everything. But for me, it was like, you know, giving my life up in that moment. Not because I'm afraid of my wife or anything like that, but it was like giving up my life in that moment because I had to make a choice there. And I said, Lord, I'm putting in everything. And Lord, if you don't come through to me, through for me, I'm screwed. Because I promise you right here, right now, I won't go do anything to make a plan if you don't come through. So you need to come through. So what I do is I don't put my faith in my parents or anyone else, Lord. I choose to put my faith in you. And I put in everything that morning in church. Yes, and I went and I sat and I thought, man, what's going to happen now? And I left church, and after church, I had a lift with someone else. So on the way home, this woman, she turned to me and she said she had the most funny experience in church this morning. And I said, yes, what? And she said, no, while in church, she experienced God saying to her this morning, don't put in your offering into the basket. Because on your way home, you need to give that to Philip. And she gave me, I think it was 140 or 150 rand or something like that. So on my way home, I was able to buy diapers. But that day changed my life forever. Because I can tell you testimony upon testimony upon testimony of God's provision, of how He provided. And I can tell you testimonies of how we prayed during the evenings and asked God for our children not to wake up because there's no milk in the fridge. And the next morning He provided that money or that milk for our family. But I can also tell you testimonies of where I was blessed with a car, of where God gave me a building and stories like that. But that stories don't start there. They started that place of being obedient with the smaller things. They start in that place of giving our tithes as He required from us. But they started that place of trusting God for a liter of milk. Because all of us, we want to be blessed with a car. We all want to be blessed with a house and stuff like that. But that faith starts somewhere else. And the thing I really want to challenge you on this year is there's nothing special about me. There's nothing different about me. The stuff that we experienced up to now, God really wants all of you to experience that. And I believe that some of you might have similar stories. Some of you might have greater stories than the stories I've got to tell. But the thing is, I can testify about God's goodness and about His faithfulness. And my question to you is, can you really testify and say that God is my provider? Because that's the place He's calling you to. So in the end, basically, to sum up what we said, I want to ask you two questions. The first one is, Sas, you can maybe come to the front. The first question I want to ask you is, what does your life consist of? If you look at your life, what does it consist of? And the answer might simply be time, money, possessions, family, all those kind of things. And my second question to you is, did you ever come to a place where you said, Lord, my life belongs to you? Did you realize what you say back then? Because when you said, Lord, my life belongs to you, you said, Lord, all my time, all my money, my family, and everything I own belongs to you. It's not mine. And you see, the way I think we need to renew our minds is we keep on thinking, but how can He ask me for my time? But it's not yours. You gave it away. How can He ask me a tenth of my income? It's not yours. You gave it away. How can He ask me to give up some of the time I want to spend with my family? It's not your family, it's His. You see, everything He gives you, If he comes to you and say, listen, here's 90%, that money that you brought in for me this month, you can have 90% of that. Not he's asking me 10% of what is mine, but he's coming to you and say, you can have 90% of what you've earned for me this month. And are you going to be that servant that's going to keep the other 10% as well? Or are you going to give him what he asks? When it comes to your time, are you willing to say, Lord, here's my time. Lord, you and your kingdom first. Or is it a thing of, Lord, but you must understand, I really got a passion for this thing, for whatever it is. I really like to do this stuff, so I need to do this stuff. And after that, if there's still time left, then I'm willing and I'm able and here I am, Lord. Or am I saying in the beginning of the month, Lord, before I decide what I want to do this month, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me? Where do you want me to reach out? Where do you want me to make a difference? And after that, I'll see if I can still fit me in there. And not the other side around. And God is not trying to get us to a place where we can't live. And I can testify to that. Because you see, we're in a place here now in Windhoek. For us, it's like we're living a life that we can't explain to other people. It's not like we are blessed. We can testify that we're blessed. We can testify that we appreciate every moment of every day where we're at now. Because God is good. And you see, I thought I was going to have to give everything away and my life was going to be empty. And I did give everything away. But my life is not empty, it's full. Because that's the God we serve. Because he's a good master. And my prayer for you at this day is for you to experience that good master. But for you to be able to experience him, you need to step out in faith. If you don't step out in faith, your story will continue of not getting somewhere, of that cycle not being broken. But he want to give you more than that. He want to give you a life that is full. Can we just close our eyes, please? Thank you, Father, Lord, that I can testify of your goodness. Thank you, Father, that there's so many of us that can just proclaim your goodness, that can testify, Lord, that you're good. Thank you, Father, that we can all know, Lord, that you call us to be good stewards. Whether it's of our time, our money, or what else, you're calling us to a place of being a good steward. And Father, this morning, we just come to you, Lord, and we just want to say sorry, Lord. Because, Lord, if I look back, there's so many missed opportunities. Places where I could have said something, but I didn't. I chose to keep quiet. If I look at my money, the same thing, Lord. There's so many places I could have given, but I didn't. And this morning, Lord, we can just bring that to you and ask you for forgiveness for that. And I know, Father, in that instance, it's gone. We're forgiven. And you ask us to turn our focus to the future and not to the past. And therefore, Father, we just choose this morning to follow you wherever you go. We realize, Lord, that you're calling us to a life of faith. You're calling us to a place where we need to step out, where it might be difficult for us. But Lord, that's the place where you want to reveal yourself to us. It's like you're standing in a corner and you're calling us to that corner. But we keep on saying, Lord, I don't want to go there. I rather want to stay here. But I know, Lord, you want to spend time with us and you want us to get to know you. And therefore, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. Father, we just bring this week to you. We want to ask you, Father, that you will lead us in everything that we do. And when we come back together here next week, Sunday, that we'll have testimonies of your goodness, of your grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Have a great Sunday. Have a great week. There's good coffee in the back. And if anyone needs prayer for anything, please come to the front. I would like